This is The Takeaway. I'm John Hockenberry. Thanks so much for listening. Have you been paying attention to these midterms? You haven't? What? You're going to let your midterms slide? Shame on you. Well, you're not alone. There are projections of record low voter participation in 2014. Midterm elections are notorious for voter tune-out, not turnout. And that is an opportunity for political strategists to jump under the radar. Certain late Octoberly surprising issues can be decisive. There's also quite a lot on the table in this election. For instance, we've known for a while that the U.S. Senate is up for grabs, with the GOP doing a lot of the most effective grabbing this time around. 36 states will also be electing governors. There are some pretty important judicial elections we'll be noting, and ballot measures including legalization of marijuana and labeling rules for GMO foods. We want to hear from you this hour. Are you going to vote? If so, what issues are important to you this November?
I'm planning to vote, but I'm not sure if I'm going to be able to because of Texas's voter ID laws, and the fact that I just moved here means that I don't yet have a Texas state driving license, so I'm a little worried that I might not be able to vote, even though there's a critical governor's race and a number of other local races that I'm very interested in.
Hi, my name is Jessie. I'm a 29-year-old mother of a 7-year-old boy. I live in Middle Georgia, and I absolutely will be voting. I'm a recent graduate. I've got my bachelor's degree in biology, but have no job opportunities here in Middle Georgia. There's just not a whole lot going on. I need someone who's going to get some jobs.
Call us at 877-8-MY-TAKE to join the conversation. Our goal this hour is to get you to pay attention, get energized, get out the vote, to make sure you know a little more about your local races, the issues on the ballot, who's running for what, and why November 4th is not just another Tuesday. We begin with two strategists who eat politics for breakfast, lunch, dinner, and snacks. Kellyanne Conway is a GOP consultant and founder and president of The Polling Company. Kellyanne, welcome to The Takeaway.
Thank you very much for having me, John.
And Anna Greenberg, Democratic strategist, welcome.
Thank you very much.
So let's get from both of you your perspective on how important the Senate is. Is it the whole game here in 2014? Kellyanne, what do you think?
Control of the Senate is critically important given the fact that the Democrats control the White House through President Obama, and the Republicans will continue to control the Congress, and John Boehner will continue to be Speaker. And so many things in the past couple of years that have been passed in the House really died in the Senate. There's been very little activity there with Senate Majority Leader Harry Reid. And what will happen if the Republicans take over the Senate is that many of these bills that have already been passed in the House will, in fact, be voted upon in the Senate. Many of them will pass, and they will be placed on President Obama's desk. He will be faced with the decision of whether to enact that into law or to veto it. And I think in a very strange way, President Obama would actually be more powerful if the Republicans took over the Senate because, as you know, many of even the Senate Democrats in these tough races are distancing themselves from President Obama. He seems to appear more in Republican ads than Democratic ads this cycle. And so the president would actually have, frankly, a higher profile day by day because he'll be asked to actually veto or enact into law different things on the economy, the expansion of the ACA, otherwise known as Obamacare, perhaps some education bills, certainly things dealing with national security and border security.
Kellyanne Conway, all right. So the notion is that President Obama is wishing for the GOP to win the Senate so he'll be more powerful. Anna Greenberg, I suspect you might disagree with that.
I do, but I agree that it's critical. There's a few reasons why it's incredibly important for Democrats to keep the Senate. The first is just the reality of appointments and vacancies in the federal judiciary and the Supreme Court for the next 2 years. Being able to continue to approve the president's nominations is very important for long-term decision-making through the judiciary. There's also a question of, if you think about what the narrative is going to be for the presidential election in 16, if Democrats keep the Senate, I think there's a better narrative, both because you don't come out of a 14 election with a kind of narrative that it's Democratic failure, but moreover, the kinds of things that the Senate will be able to do with the president around positioning the party, I think, better sets up the party for 16. I think that, to Kellyanne's point, the president will be in a tough spot in different places around whether or not he signs or vetoes legislation, especially because historically he's shown an inclination to want to negotiate with Republicans, to want to enact a grand bargain. When those kinds of fights can actually create internal problems with the Democratic Party, the base, which would be more progressive than potentially where the president is. So I agree with Kellyanne that if the Republicans took over the Senate, in some ways it would elevate the president's role, but I also think it would also create a fair amount of internal conflict within the Democratic Party.
It seems to me, though, that the Congress, the House, and the Senate have demonstrated it over the past 6 years, or coming up on 6 years, that they can't get anything done, I think, regardless of the configurations of the parties. There are plenty of Republicans who are dubious of things like, you know, debt limit and government shutdown, you know, cliffhangers. Kellyanne Conway, why do you think the Republicans working together in the House and Senate is going to be any different from what's been going on?
Well, it'll be clearly different. There's been obstructionism in Harry Reid's Senate. That's very clear. And frankly, that's as much on the ballot in some of these races as is President Obama and President Obama's policies. He himself said his policies are on the ballot. Republicans were thrilled to hear that admission. And he's absolutely, I totally agree with the president. His policies are on the ballot. And that's why the Republicans probably will take over the Senate, John and Anna, because people really do want a check and a balance. So if the House Republicans and the Senate Republicans work together, there, many of these bills that have, many of these pieces of legislation that have already been passed in the House will go to the Senate, and you will see a flurry of activity. It is an important point because the Republican Party will be able to say to the voters, this is exactly what we've stood for, but it's been totally eclipsed beneath the weight of an obstructionist Harry Reid-led Senate where good ideas have gone to die.
That would be the GOP narrative that Kellyanne Conway is describing there. Respond to that, Anna Greenberg. And do you think Harry Reid sticks if the Democrats win the Senate? It's not up to you, of course, but would Harry Reid stick around, or would there be an attempt to maybe get different leadership in the Senate?
Well, let me take Kellyanne's point first. There has been a fair number of efforts in the House to pass things that, for example, are critical for the running of the government and have not been able to pass because of Republican obstructionism against Republicans. So the notion that if you controlled both the House and Senate, it'd be easy to pass legislation, to me, strikes me as not quite right because you've got a lot of internal issues within the Republican Party. I think if the Democrats keep the Senate, which I think there still is a chance that Democrats keep the Senate, for sure Harry Reid keeps his job. He is a very effective leader. He is very effective at raising money. And so he will be seen as part of sort of the architect of, you know, if not the architect of keeping the Senate. So I can't see him losing his job if they keep the Senate.
Anna, your three most important races to determine if the Democrats keep the Senate or not.
Iowa, Colorado, and Kansas.
Kellyanne Conway, your three races most important to the GOP winning the Senate in 2014.
I easily could have chosen the same three races, so I'll mix it up and have some fun here. I've got to put Iowa on my list, and I'll say Louisiana and Arkansas.
Kellyanne Conway is a Republican strategist and founder and president of The Polling Company. Speaking to us from New Jersey, Anna Greenberg is Democratic strategist and senior vice president at Greenberg Quinlan Rosner Research. We'll be back later this hour. Get your maps out to talk about all of the races in the Senate contests in 2014. Anna and Kellyanne, stay with us. We'll have more from Kellyanne Conway and Anna Greenberg later this hour. We will also look at the money influencing the campaign. But all political trends are set by the demographic shifts going on in America. And here to discuss those maps and math behind the midterm elections, we turn now to Mapmaster Dante Cheney, director of the American Communities Project at American University. Dante, always great to talk to you.
Thank you for having me.
What are the numbers here? There's, I guess, two to really think about. In 2014, not everybody is up for election. So the question of which races are in play relates to your map. Is that the big issue right now?
I think there are two big issues. That's a big one. If you look at the battleground states, so we're talking about in 2012, the states that really matter in terms of winning the presidency. And obviously, we're talking in 2014 about the states where you have contested Senate races. Those are the two measures we're using. The field looks really different using the map that we use at the American Communities Project. The biggest group in terms of like the type of county that in 2012 was the urban suburbs, which are very good for Democrats. When you look now at 2014, the biggest group is the exurbs. That's really not very good. Not very good at all for the Democrats. That's strong Republican areas, and that's one reason why they should be concerned.
And what do you think the regional issues are? I mean, who's favored here in these exurb communities?
What I look at when I'm looking at these Senate races is you look at places like Georgia, where Democrats would like to have a chance. Lots of exurbs down there. Exurbs are very Republican. You look even at a place like Iowa, where Democrats have done very well. Not a lot of urban suburbs there. There's a lot of rural community out there, and that's problematic for them. Colorado, North Carolina. These are places where Democrats should do okay, not quite as much urban suburb in those places as you'd like. And that, again, when you just look at the map, that's troubling. But I do think another thing to add on top of this is if you look at enthusiasm, who's going to actually turn out? We looked at some Pew data with this and some NBC Wall Street Journal data with this. And it is the urban suburbs are the least interested in the 2014 campaign. So you've got two things really working against you. You've got voters that are disinterested in those places, and then you have fewer voters in those places. So it's kind of a double whammy for Democrats in 2014.
So if you're just looking broadly at your numbers and at your map, the Democrats lose the Senate?
Yeah, you would look at this map. It's almost impossible for the Democrats to hold on to the Senate. But I do think one thing to really keep in mind is this. A lot of these states they're going to lose. They, you know, one way of looking at it is they really should, you know, in quotes, lose them anyway. They vote Republican in the presidential race. The key for the Democrats is, can they hold on to Michigan, Iowa, Colorado, and New Hampshire? Those states went with them in 2012. Can they get them again? And then North Carolina is the big one, because North Carolina, they just missed in 2012. And what if they win North Carolina in 2014? It could happen. Ed Kay Hagan, the incumbent Democrat, is still leading there. That's a race to really keep an eye on.
Well, we've talked about that from the candidate perspective, but I'm wondering if this is the last election or one of the last elections for North Carolina as a red state. And let's throw Georgia in there. Is this a situation where North Carolina and Georgia are going from red to blue, and we're seeing some of that turnaround taking place right now?
North Carolina looks so much like Virginia. The big question to me out of that race in North Carolina is this the year that North Carolina becomes Virginia? Because it looks so much like Virginia in a lot of ways, demographically speaking. And it has, North Carolina has Nova, Northern Virginia, right around Washington, D.C., full of really well-educated, Democrat-leaning voters. And North Carolina has Research Triangle. If you look at the vote out of those two places in 2012, they were almost mirror images of each other. 57% for Barack Obama in Nova, 56% for Barack Obama in Research Triangle. This could be the year North Carolina flips. Georgia is on the way. I think you're right, but I think it still has further to go. It doesn't have this big cluster of kind of tech jobs, highly educated, Democrat-leaning voters that you have in Virginia and increasingly in North Carolina now.
Dante Cheney, that gives us something to watch on Election Day. Director of the American Communities Project at American University. Thanks so much.
Thanks for having me.
You're going to vote in November? What issues matter most to you this election cycle?
Jason from Clare, Michigan. Yes, I'll be voting this year. The most important aspect to me is removal of incumbents.
My name is Vicki. I'm calling from Sebastopol, California. I'm a senior, and yes, I'm voting, and I am trying my best to keep those radical Tea Party and Republicans from taking over the Senate. And I will vote and work for that for the rest of my life.
Salt Lake City, Utah is going to vote. I've rarely missed any elections in over four decades of eligibility. I'm not particularly optimistic, but think that electing as many new politicians at all levels is of utmost importance. Call us at 877-8-MY-TAKE, be a part of the conversation, or find us on Facebook.com/The Takeaway.
Support for The Takeaway comes from TIAA CREF, a financial services company helping to create financial outcomes that matter. Learn more at TIAA.org. And Moo.com, an online print and design company providing software and tools to create business cards, flyers, and triple-thick luxe cards. More at Moo.com.